Jeremiah chapter 18. I want you to notice verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying. It's amazing how we think much differently of the Bible times as we do today. I want you to look at verse 1. The word, what's that second word? The what? Word which came to who? Jeremiah from the who? Lord. In other words, God had something he wanted to say to the people. And so God chose a man and gave his word and said, Jeremiah, speak to the people. I personally believe that happens every Sunday with Dr. Paul Chappell. I believe it happens here with Dr. Getz and Dr. Rasmussen, Brother Weaver. I believe that happens. God wants this group right here to hear his word. So God chooses somebody to hear the word of God. Then he said, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And when I went down to the potter's house, behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made again another vessel that seemed pleasing to the potter to make it. Then he gives the illustration in verse number 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Can we be very just practical? I actually brought it here, and I want you to understand it. He says that you and I are the clay. You and I are the clay. This is just that. This is clay. It's moldable and it's formable. And you and I can be the clay. And we're in church today. And maybe you're of a different ethnic background. And try to do the best I can, okay? So we're trying to cover all the boundaries here. We'll make Dr. R nice and tall guy. He's in the middle right there, buddy. This is somebody else. Got to be Haven Chapel. All right, good. So I'm trying to cover all the ethnic backgrounds. If you are this color here, you don't belong here. That's all I got to say, okay? That's all the colors they had, all right? So we're going to learn the very basic truth of what God is teaching us by this lesson. First of all, he said that you and I are the clay. You and I are the what? Clay. Talk to me. You and I are the what? Clay. And God says that's who you are. You and I are the clay. Let's go back. God, first of all, said that he was the potter. God is the what? Help me, God is the what? I like what he said. When you're tired, you still have to be in the ministry. When you're tired, you still have to be on the platform. When you're tired, you still have to sing the specials. When you're tired, you still have to take the test and all those other things. And so we just want to kind of get with it. So God is the what? God is the what? You and I are the what? That's all we are. That's all we are. I want you to understand that. I don't care what kind of shoes you wear and how expensive they were and what kind of tie and maybe you got a Monte suit and maybe your socks even match. God bless you. But never get over the fact that you and I are simply the clay. That's all we are. Honestly, it's just kind of dirt taken out of the ground. I think I can refer back to it in the book Psalms, number 40. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. I want you to know something about clay. Clay is not granular like most dirt. Clay is made of a substance more fish scale. It's a slippery substance. It's so something one can form a little bit better. The Bible refers to it as being taken out of a horrible pit. Back in Bible times, still today, they would go find the pits where the clay was. It seems as if the deeper and the darker you went down into the pit, the clay was more moist and the clay was more formable. In fact, they had to go so deep into a clay pit that they used to have to leave a little trail so you could see the light getting out. Isn't it amazing that God goes down to the pit to find the people that are more mold and pliable and usable by God? That's all we are is dust. That's all we are is dirt. Terracotta is the word. A fish scale substance, worthless and useless and helpless and was in a horrible pit. But he says this, the lower the better. You look at some of the great preachers of past and you'll find that they came from the worst of homes and the most difficult of times. And God said, I'm reaching way down there. But they realized, I can do nothing. It's not what I bring to the table. It's what God does with me. I'm just the clay and God is the potter. Number one, God is what? Help me, God is what? Number two, you and I are the clay. Number three, he said, goes to the potter's house. Potter's house is simply church. God says, go to church. You know, you really think about some of the most profound truths we learn. Go to church. Go to church. Hey, but look where he just came from. How many people still go? How many of your graduating class are thrilled to be in church? How many look forward to Sunday night and Wednesday night and missions conference and youth works and all the other stuff? God says, I want you to go to my house. I want you to go to church. That's where I make you. It's the place where God makes us. It's the clay factory. If we don't go to church, we don't get made. And you can be here and not be here. They asked someone at the asylum, why are you here? Because I'm not all there. That's why I'm here. Number one, God is the what? Number one, God is the? Number two, you and I are the? Number three, the potter's house is called? Potter's house is called? Look up here. Don't miss church. Don't miss church. Don't miss church. Well, I don't feel good. Don't feel good at church. What do you do? Sit home on the couch? Go to church, sit on a pew. Well, I just go to church. Just go to church. I'll tell you this, when you go to church, that's where God begins to make you. We're the clay, he's the potter, his house is the church. Number five, he says, I want you to look at the potter. He makes it work on the wheel. And that wheel was simply a potter's wheel. It's actually a large piece of stone on the bottom. Have you ever seen an old-time potter? He would sit at a chair, and he'd take his foot, and he'd buff that wheel, and buff that wheel, and buff that wheel, and that wheel would start to turn. And so he just kind of pumped that wheel and pumped that wheel. That shaft came up, and when that shaft came up, there's a smaller wheel on top. The bottom wheel was about 600 pounds. It was called the rock. And then it had a shaft, came up to the smaller wheel, and that's where he threw the clay and worked on the clay. That wheel is like a microcosm of life. You and I are on the wheel today. We got up this morning, and the sun arose up, and we'll live throughout the day, and then the sun will set, and the day will end, and then we get up again tomorrow. I want you to understand that most of our life is not formed in a day, but most of our life is formed daily. Great Christians don't become great Christians in a day, but they become great Christians daily. And so, guys, I want to show you a microcosm of life. Watch the potter work on the wheel. Every day is that microcosm. We just learn day by day. We get stronger day by day. We grow day by day. We learn how to love day by day. We just do what God asks us to do. Number one, God is the what? Potter. Number two, you and I are the? Number three, then watch this. The potter's house is called the church, and the wheel of life is called life. And then there's marring. Marring. Marring is the decay. It's the decomposing. Look up here, I'll show you. The clay came from the pit. They gathered all the clay out of the pit, and then they had to recognize the light, how to get up out of the miry pit and the horrible pit. And they saw the light, and they followed the light, and they got up there. But this clay had all of the refuse that kind of went down to the bottom of the pit. So there's decaying in here. There's decomposing in here. And so when God sees that decay, God says, I remove it. That's like Mike Ray right there. How do you like him? I started off with as much clay as probably anybody else as we were all born. Unfortunately, my life, seemed to be a little more marring. God had to take that away. God had to take that away. Now I know he made me again another vessel. Seemed pleasing to the Lord. But I don't have the abilities that God, others have. I looked across the table last night and I saw a Jackie Rasmussen. And I thought, oh, would to God I would have had a bringing up like that. There's no excuse for my marring. I can't blame the six divorces. I can't really blame my mother being murdered, my stepfather committing suicide. There was still a God, there's still a Bible. But God removed a lot. And I am what I am by the grace of God. But when I watch these others, And boy, they got it, don't they? They got it. That marring God removes. That deadly, the dying, the decomposing, the decaying, God says, I remove. That's the marring. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And the soul of the sinner that shall surely die is decayed, is decomposing. And God says, I can't use that. I got to remove that, but I can make it again another vessel. And I want to do that when I make it a good another vessel. You know how it works. God deals with our sin at church, and it pleases God when sin is removed. And may I say this, may I help you a little bit? And never forget to use an altar. And God says, look down there. I see them trying to work with me and try to have that sin removed and remove the dying part. Oh, I want that to happen. And what a better place than West Coast Baptist College to fall at the altar and say, God, here I am. Just use me. And whatever's not usable, God, please use it and remove it from me. And Lord, help me to be a piece of clay that thou can use. Happens at church, and he takes the clay, and sometimes it's not moldable. Clay comes out somewhat hard, sometimes has impurities, and you can tell sometimes when you preach to people, it's like this. I love that. I love the challenge. It ain't me. It's watch the Holy Spirit, and I've had men come to my church, and sometimes teenagers come to my church, and boy, they're just all rocked in there. But you start preaching the Word of God, and you see him just. You know what God does? A potter adds water. The Bible is referred to as the water. And you can take a hardened soul, and you can take someone set in the ways, and all of a sudden they come to hear the preaching of the Word of God, and they're in the Word of God, and all of a sudden something happens, and God begins to work on them, and he adds the water, and at the end of the message, they're saying, yeah, I need to walk down that aisle. I need to trust Jesus Christ, my Savior. I need to get involved in ministry. Oh, God is making me something by adding the Word of God. And if we ever get hard in our personal life, just add water. Just add water. If I would add water to this, this clay becomes very easily formed, very formable and palatable. I mean, it's easy. Just add water. Oh, there's one more thing about the clay. God's a potter, we're the clay. The church house is the potter's house. The wheel of life is that wheel going around. Then God takes the marring out and makes it another vessel. He adds the water, and then it happens. You've watched them. What they do is they call it this, they throw the clay. When you throw the clay, you have that big wheel on the bottom, you have the shaft coming up, you have the small wheel on top. That base there is called the rock. Any potter will tell you this. The most important part of working with clay is throwing the clay. You understand, there's a wheel up here, and it's going around and around and around, and you'll take a piece of clay like this or a piece of clay like this or whatever it is, and you'll take that and you'll throw it on the rock. There's a focal point there. May I say this? That's the whole idea, desire of the potter, is to get it in the center. Watch this. If it's in the center, I can work with it. If it's out here a little bit, the clay just doesn't turn. It goes around in a circle like this right here. And here's God with some of your lives right now. God is trying to go ahead and work with you a little bit, and he's trying to put his hands on you a little bit, but you're not in the center of his wheel, and God is chasing around that wheel like this right here, and he's really trying to make you something. He's not getting any place. And all he wants you to do is just yield to him and say, look, put me right in the center of your wheel. You put me right in here. You can put your hands on me and you can put pressure on me. You understand? That's what the ministry is all about. God is making you something. He adds the Word of God, the water. It makes you formable and pliable. And then God takes his holy hands and he places them on you, and God adds pressure. Pressure? I don't want pressure. Then you don't want to be made. That's what a potter does. Potter takes his skillful hands and begins to put pressure on the clay. And the clay, watch this, yields itself to the potter's hand. And God makes what God wants it to be. Oh, man, I'm going through a tough time. I can't pay my bills. Too many hours. I'm working too much. I need to get out of here. Don't get out. Get through. God is making you something. Never get off the wheel. When he throws you on the wheel. And it gets you centered. So it doesn't have to fight you all the time. That is a daily yielding. Wake up out of bed before you throw your legs over the side and touch the ground and say, Lord, I'm yours today. Lord, you're the potter. I'm the clay. I don't know what you have for me, but I'm right here. I want to be in the center. God, make me something today. And God says, I'll take you. You know what God does? To work with clay after his throne, and you apply pressure, you have to pierce it. They pierce it. As it goes around and around, you simply, after it's pierced, began, if this was going around and around, you would now hollow out the inside. This top is called a mouth. It says, he hath put in my mouth a new song. It means he has pierced you. He's beginning to work on you. And now he begins to go ahead and make that cavity a little deeper. Here is the foot. He sets it on the rock. And now he pierces it. And now he's working on the mouth. And he enlarges the mouth. Here's what he has to do. He has to go ahead and break down the walls. He's breaking down the walls. You know why you're at West Coast Baptist College? He's breaking down your walls, breaking down some education, breaking down some prejudices, breaking down some preconceived ideas, and breaking down some laziness. And God says, hey, I'm working. Don't get out. Don't get out. I'm working on you. Notice, watch this. And God breaks down the walls and makes them thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner. The inside is called the heart. The heart. The thinner the wall, the bigger the heart. Now, I ain't going to work with those kind of kids. Small heart. Well, I don't work with anybody but a small heart. Once you let God just continue to make you thin out those walls and give you a big heart. No one can see the heart but God. I don't understand anything about your granddaughter. But God does. I pray for your sons. Pray for your kids every day. Won't miss one day these last 2 months. Only those close to God can see what he's doing. That's why John Wilkerson stood up and said, everything's okay between my father and I. My son's with him and not with me. How does John and Mrs. Wilkerson take the death of a child? They saw God working on their hearts. If you're not close to God, you won't see what he's doing. And then you resent God. This is called clay. And God desires to have you give him the clay. Notice in chapter 19, he's not talking about clay. He talked about a vessel. Just a vessel. Vessels are different. Vessels are hard. This is the young. I can form it. This is the ancient. The old. I cannot form this. I cannot change it. I cannot work with it. It is set in its ways. And it's amazing that God chose Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and say, I want to teach my nation something. I want you to, Jeremiah chapter 18 is Jeremiah. Chapter 19 is Jeremiah. Chapter 18 is Jeremiah preaching the word. Chapter 19 is Jeremiah preaching the word. Jeremiah chapter 18 is talking about the young people. Jeremiah chapter 19 is talking about the ancient, the older people. Jeremiah chapter 18 talks about the clay. Jeremiah 19 talks about the vessel. Jeremiah chapter 18 talks about forming it. Jeremiah chapter 19 talks about breaking it. Can't form this. But you can form this. You take a young lady, a young man that's sitting here at West Coast Baptist College today. And they're started dating. They're starting to get along. And boy, you think this is it. And we're falling in love. Ever think about that terminology, falling? It's like a pit. It's okay. It's a good one. It's a good one. Sorry, West Coast. Okay. If you don't, it's this. Ah! Oh, no! God had these two here, and they're getting closer and closer, and God said, no. I don't want you dating her. I don't want you dating him. And God says, stop the relationship. I see something that's not going to be good for you. Well, I'll make you another one. And God has it. See, the clay is young and is remoldable. The vessel is not. That's divorce. Oh. God is he's just as good with this. He really is. I can tell you. This is a whole lot better. See, young in life, you make some mistakes, and God can take you and work you and makes you get another vessel. Old in life, we become hard in our ways and set. There's no forming. But God loves you. God loves me. I don't feel I'm any second class to Dr. R. Reared in a preacher's home. I love that man. He loves me. But I'll never be, honestly, what I could have been. God has been so good to me. Yeah. He said, Tim, I'm sorry, Tim, but, you know, here we go. I got that one here. And, son, just, here you go. That's the best I got. Now I'm going to use this. I'm flat out going to take every piece, put all together with him, and I'm going to use it and say, use it more. But that's the best I got. Now you can give God your clay when you are young right now, and God can make you a great vessel. Or you can kind of go through those hard times. You see, young in your life, watch this. When they take that when they take that clay and they make that vessel, you know what they do? They put it into a kiln, and the kiln is about 2,400 degrees. And I don't know if you know this, but when you put clay in kiln, you can hear it. You can hear it. It sounds like a wheezing, real high wheezing. It's true. There's living organisms in clay. They're dying. They're being killed by the fire. And if you ever imagine squealing and imps and demons of hell coming out, it's what the fire does. Think how strange when you come to fiery trials. Also, when you walk by a kiln, it has a horrible stench. It stinks. Because God, through the fires, takes out the impurity, the decomposing. Something nice when they take it out. Any potter will tell you this. When you take the vessel out of the fire, it's very porous. It'll absorb anything you give it. And God looks at you today. He says you're at West Coast Baptist College. You're working a few more hours than you used to. And you're studying. You're hitting the books. You're on your knees in the morning. You open the book. And boy, you're in it. And you're saying, boy, I don't know how long I can do this. And God says, I know I'm making something. And the trial's coming. And difficulty's coming. And back home it gets hard. And he says, I know the fire is here. But hold on here. Just get through the fire. I'm making you something. And after the fire, what, we come out so porous. And we come out and say, what do you want, God? What do you want? Mold me. Make me, break me. I have four kids. My oldest one's Gabe. I call him Rock. Why do you call him Rock? He can't swim. That's Gabe. He's never seen a naked woman outside of his wife. Never smoked a joint. Never took a hit off a cigarette. And I had one drop of alcohol. That's Gabe. And God can use Gabe. And God can use you. Here's Gabe's dad. This is not a sob story. It's just reality. Now God's going to use me. But I'm not half stupid enough to say, look, you ought not to do it this way. You ought to do it this way right here. I wish to God today I could be like this. I wish to God I could. So here's what I got to work with. But today, it's your choice. You're young. You're the clay. You have to make a choice. He sat right here and made the choice. Others have sat here and they made a choice. May I just remind you, you have been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our bodies, physical substance, and in our spirit. This doesn't do a whole lot of glorifying. Now, watch this. I told you, huh? He's put it, God, what? But it's not the same. Will you give God the clay? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I'm just the clay. Mold me, make me, have at me after thy will. While I am waiting, eager, yielded, and still. Will you today give God the clay? Give God the clay.